The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Sri Lanka made the news regularly in the past for the civil war. Today in Malaysia, it makes the news because of its relationship with China and the economic challenges it is facing. I'm Brian Fernandez, and with me is His Excellency AJM Muzamil, High Commissioner of Sri Lanka. Welcome to the Breakfast Grill.
Thank you.
Sri Lanka's foreign debt of US$47 billion is about 55% of GDP. Your debt servicing cost in 2015 was $1.8 billion, increased to $2.4 billion last year, and will be $4 billion next year. How did Sri Lanka get into this economic quagmire?
Well, you must understand that we have been running a 30-year war, a civil ethnic strife that has plucked the country's economy, economic growth, the development. Everything has come to a standstill, and virtually a 30 years is a total destruction, particularly in the northern and the eastern front. That war extended even to the south, to an extent where even our central bank was bombed, Sri Lankan Airlines airport was bombed, the people were living in fear. So I did not want to elaborate much on that. So it was a prolonged exercise, and that we finally managed to militarily defeat the militants in 2009. So it was the circular task for the government at that time to rebuild the economy, call for foreign FDIs to come into the country. And our development was mainly focused on foreign heavy borrowing.
And that's to fund infrastructure projects, am I correct? But
like the Hambantota Port, Hambantota Matala Airport, then the expressways, road development. These were all is a part of heavy commercial borrowing.
But you've just mentioned that Hambantota Port, 70% has been sold to the Chinese for around US$1.12 billion. Unfortunately, the debt for Sri Lanka on that port was $8 billion. Why did you decide to sell the port to the Chinese?
You see, it is not the question of selling the port. You see, Hambantota is a rightly planned, strategic, maritime Silk Road, developed road. So to develop that port, we need to make it a very high, commercially viable port. You need to input heavy, capital input has to be put in. You know, the Colombo, Sri Lanka port has lost 43 billion rupees in the process of maintaining the Hambantota port.
And why is that?
Because to maintain the port, the cost is a heavy cost.
There's not enough traffic.
There's no revenue generating at the moment.
But isn't that very strategic?
You see, it's strategic. Is undoubtedly strategic, but you need the piers has to be built. You see, the cranes has to be coming. You have to make it more commercially viable transshipment hub. You need the industries to come into the developed in the Hambantota area. So make it export oriented. You see, so what we are now trying to do, that the present government after 2015, a serious changes of economic liberalization is taking place. We got caught into the heavy debt. This government has to got into the heavy debt.
Yes, you've inherited that. That's nothing to do with you, correct?
You see, this is something that our government inherited. So we are very slow, and it's not a massive, it's not big. You see, if you take $46-48 billion debt, is only 20 square kilometers of land in the Western Province. You see, it's a proper privatization process take place. We will be able to restructure this loan.
So that's what your strategy is.
So this is the restructuring process is taking place. Now, Hambantota, it's not selling it out. We are giving it to a privatization program, 80%, and 20% will be held by the Sri Lankan port, so which they will bring in. $1.2 billion will come into this Sri Lankan economy. It will be pumped into the country. And we are going to develop the port. Now, if you take the port, already a massive cement plant is also being packaged into the harbour. with the China merchants. They are already engaged to produce another massive cement plant coming up. There will be a refinery coming in, sugar refinery coming in, industrial zones are coming in.
So are the industrial zones going to be spearheaded by the Chinese, or do you have other plans with people like Singapore, for example?
Infrastructure developments will be made by the Chinese, right? So it will be a trade zone. So anybody can come and make investment because we will have a very sophisticated port. You see, what is important in the industry is to make sure that you have easy access for export. And this is a logistically, right, a fine export port we have. And also remember that even though the port is being privatized, Sri Lanka is hold the logistics, and we control the logistic arrangements will be in the hands of the Port Authority of Sri Lanka.
So do you have a golden share in that joint venture? Would you have a right of veto?
We have the right, absolutely. It's not a sellout, absolutely. But it's a very, very fine private arrangement.
And Sri Lanka has obviously, in fact, developed relationships with China over the last couple of years. You've become closer and closer. They're a big investor in your economy. You were one of the first countries to recognize China. You also have some elements of defense cooperation with China. What sort of defense arrangements do you have?
I think that we don't have that much of, we are not heavily involved in the defense part of it. But you must understand that during the war, we had to purchase certain defense aircraft from defense.
Your Air Force has a number of Chinese aircraft.
But also you must understand that where the Chinese are developing the port city in Colombo, right? That's a massive investment. That's about, so when the port city is developed, right, so the economy, you see, is going at a very high speed. There was a delay to restructure the agreements. So we have done that. So the government has assessed the proper environmental impact assessment has been done. So the investor will have no issues with any future governments. So all records are very straightforward. So it's very transparent. So that is where even that port city development, right, will have a massive economic boom. So the Chinese have also in the South Port, they're already there, it's a development. So at the same time, we have encouraging the Indian investors to come in.
And that's a very good point, Your Excellency, because you've got a delicate balancing act that you have to play. On one hand, you've got this economic giant, China, that's coming in and helping you develop your infrastructure. They're bringing industries, as you have mentioned. They have moved into Sri Lanka in a very big way. Traditionally, however, the big brother has been India. How do you manage that? How is your government managing that relationship now?
Because we have an absolutely very, very, very clear, good understanding with the government of India. The Prime Minister Modi has visited Sri Lanka twice, ever since this government came into office. So we have a very good understanding, and we have already major giants, industry investors are already there, the Indian oil companies there. Then we are discussing with India LNG plants, it's coming up, power plants are coming up, right? Then India is looking at, they've already developed the railways to the north, they are in a big way. Then they are looking at the development of the Trincomalee port, then Trincomalee oil tanks. We are going to liberalize where it will be utilized by the Indian oil company. So it is a matter of, we are going to have a competition between China and India. It doesn't matter to us as long as the benefit has come to this country. So we are managing it very well.
I've been speaking to His Excellency AJM Muzamil, High Commissioner of Sri Lanka. Next, we will be talking about religious harmony in Sri Lanka and relations with Malaysia. Stay with us on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
I'm Brian Fernandez, and I'm speaking to His Excellency AJM Muzamil, High Commissioner of Sri Lanka. Your Excellency, you are a Muslim in a predominantly Buddhist country. How did you feel in 2014 in June when there were riots against Muslims?
Well, that was a very unfortunate situation. The government of the day should have taken much more precautions and control without allowing the extreme Buddhist forces to take up a hand against the minorities. So this was growing up in small scale, and they were trying to bring in religious hatred among the Muslims. And they were attacking the isolated economic areas where dominated. They felt that the Muslims were dominated, which is very much untrue. So it is hatred that was being brought up, and it escalated to an extent where a predominantly Muslim populated village, town in Aludgama, they got set fire. The government should have taken control of the situation. The culprit should have been brought to books, but those steps were not rightly taken. It is the responsibility of the government to protect every citizen, whether it is a Muslim, Sinhalese, Buddhist, Tamils, Hindu. So the government failed.
So even the attacks, and we understand that there have been as much as 140 attacks against Christians as well since January 2015. So what you're saying is your government has taken a firm hand against rising potentially religious intolerance.
Well, the result of 2015, the presidential election, the defeat of Rajapaksa, very clearly indicated to them, the minorities of the country, M bloc rejected Rajapaksa, voted against, mainly because the Rajapaksa failed to protect the Muslim minorities, Tamil minorities, and even the isolated Catholic incidents. The government did not take responsibilities in bringing the culprit to books, taking control. So the M bloc went and voted and threw the regime out. So the new regime came with a promise to the people that the religious ethnic harmony will be restored, equal rights to every citizen, whatever the race, religion, groups you belong to, that you will have the right to speak the language you wish to speak, or you learn to speak your mother language, that the language, then the religion that you embrace to practice, you are free. You have the freedom to practice. So that freedom absolutely protected and ensured by the present regime. Of course, even after the present regime came into power, there were isolated incidents. They were trying to continue the earlier, the same group of people trying to, but it was all because these elements are there. It is not the majority. Even the Buddhist community is a peaceful community. Now see, you look at Malaysia. Yesterday I went. The Prime Minister of Malaysia, Najib Razak, came and laid a foundation stone for a Buddhist organization, right? Now see how the Sindur, Brickfield Temple chief monk, he wanted to put build something, right? The Prime Minister came for the groundbreaking ceremony, and there was only 4 million collection, 12 million required. He appealed to the donors and said, please contribute. And he said, I'll top it up with 1 million, bring it. And he said, if you shortfall, I'll complete it. Now see, now this is the attitude that is bringing the religious in a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, multilingual society. Now this is what we have to learn and practice in Sri Lanka. So this is a good lesson. And now we have, I think the government is taken proper measures. Of course, these extremists are there on both sides. Sometimes there are some extremists even from among the Muslims. Also, we have some extremism. But we don't have, actually among the Muslims, we don't have any Muslim connected to international extreme organization. We don't have. We are not linked to that. So our people are... So the government is considering to bring about a new constitution to bring in so that every community will be able to ensure their safety and guarantee that they have the right to live with self-respect and dignity. This is important.
Are those the values that you promoted as mayor of Colombo?
Of course. I was the mayor of Colombo from 2011. I was the mayor in a multi-ethnic, multilingual society, Buddhists, Muslims, and Hindus. I got the highest preference vote when I got elected, but from the opposition party. But I managed to run the affairs of the council with the ruling party, which is opposed to me. But my objective was to build a better city. And within 4 years, with the support of the government of Rajapaksa, I managed to make city one of the most beautiful cities, fast developing city.
What did you do? What specific measures did you do?
I used all the resources available to make the city beautiful, cleaning up operation, right? The achievement is to get everybody to work. One thing is to work. Get the government support in the modernization of the road, the city, cleaning up of the city. If you walked into the city, everyone who came into the city, I have to conduct the Commonwealth heads of states visit, Pope visit, many heads of states visit during my tenure. Everybody comes to the city and say, Colombo City is beautiful, clean. Thank you.
Now, Your Excellency, what is the state of diplomatic relations between Malaysia and Sri Lanka right now?
Absolutely. We are having a very, very good relationship. We have been having our relationship extends to 60 years of diplomatic relationship. We are celebrating this year. You see, many heads of states have visited Malaysia. Our president visited in December. And we have signed 5 MOUs. And we are in the process of finalizing the free trade agreement with Malaysia. We have very good investors from Malaysia. Dialogue Axiata has invested nearly $2 billion. Recently, Hyrax have invested about $40 million in lubricants. And I think the Prime Minister Najib is to visit in December. Hopefully, he will declare open that factory. Then we have motorcycle industries, hotels, leisure industries by Malaysians.
The trade balance, essentially, is overwhelmingly in Malaysia's favor at this point of time. It's something in the region
it's not balancing yet.
Yes, it's about 600 million US.
Absolutely not balancing because we have made use of Malaysia enough.
Where do you see the opportunities then for Sri Lanka to export to Malaysia?
Export to Malaysia?
Yeah.
Well, we have very traditional exports, like non-traditional exports. We can export tea. Then we have exporting, to some extent, labor. There is a labor market for us. And also, we need the Malaysians to come and start industries in Sri Lanka for re-export to Malaysia.
What are the opportunities then for Malaysian investors to come in? Let's say an SME. SMEs are 96% of our economy. The government is looking to grow SMEs. What can small and medium-sized industries invest in Sri Lanka?
Of course, I feel that if you take leisure industry, the hotel industry, is something that is growing up very fast in Sri Lanka. It's another fairly returnable investment. Then other industries like in rubber, in agriculture, even in electronics. Even if Proton wants to invest in a car manufacturing plant, it will be still good. They can make money.
What's the size of the car market in Sri Lanka?
You see, it's not a big market, I must tell you. It's not as big because it's 20 million population. But the price is very important. If you can raise, people are price conscious. They like to buy any kind of vehicle.
And what is Sri Lanka looking at for the next 5 years in terms of growth? Where do you see your growth coming from?
Well, foreign direct investment, because we are in the process of privatization.
So would foreigners be able to buy state-owned assets in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, we have liberalized the foreign exchange. Foreigners be able to buy state-owned assets in Sri Lanka. We are going to sell 2 hotels, the hospitals, private government-owned enterprises are going to be sold, you see. Because Maxis have bought part of the telecom, 51% of telecom. Because the telecom industry is dominated by the Malaysians in Sri Lanka. So what I'm saying is, we are also trying to sell lands for development. Palm oil, plantation, you have the technology. But of course, you have enough lands in Malaysia. Because we have to work out how economic and cost factor is important. Because the labor is becoming more expensive all over.
I think the plantation companies are always hungry for land.
Yeah, they're always hungry for lands.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency. It was a pleasure having you on The Breakfast Grill. That was His Excellency AJM Muzamil, High Commissioner of Sri Lanka. And you are with BFM 89.9, the business station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.